why don't we just jump in with a word of prayer? And if someone can grab the door for me there. Ryan, can you grab the door for me? Okay. Nicholas, go. How are we doing on audio for those of you online? It's okay. Okay. All right. Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks this morning. And as we gather to look at your word, Father, as we study these names in which your attributes, your characteristics are introduced to us, Father, I pray that you be the revealer of truth and you would speak to us in the areas of our life where we need to hear from you. And I pray that our study, our exploration, even in some areas just to see where Scripture can lead us in some of the concepts into our lives today. I want to lift this day of worship into your hands. And I pray that we are here, as I prayed with our family this morning, regardless of whether or not we have the best, quality teaching, preaching, music, whatever it may be, I pray that although those things are really helpful, Lord, to benefit us, Lord, what you look at is at our heart. And I pray that we'd be 100% for you today. Help us to, even as we think of you, the banner, how are you the banner of our life? What does that represent to us? Why is this so important, even as we talked about last week, the concept of the banner in our life? We thank you. Help us to know you more. Help us to follow you, obey you, and experience you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I want to just jump into a little bit of what, hey, can you close out the people there? I really liked some of the things that this group over here talked about last week with Banner. Specifically that, it was interesting. Justin said that when, I think we're talking about the medieval times or just Dungeons and Dragons or whatever it is.
Back in the day.
He said that the standard bearer, right, is holding up the standard, the banner, and the banner we talked about can represent many things, but our class talked about the banner representing our allegiance. That's where we pledge our allegiance, like the flag of the United States is a banner today. When you think of the Olympic ceremonies and those who win gold, silver, and bronze, those are the flags, those are the banners that are lifted up. Talk about the Laker banners, right? The Laker banners are a source of pride for anybody who steps in. For UCLA basketball, who's still strong in the March Madness tournament. Yes, and Kansas City got knocked out yesterday. Kansas got knocked out yesterday by Arkansas. That's a big deal. We're on the way to another UCLA banner. Like, for me, that's a big deal. That's cool, right? And I think we have a legitimate chance now that Kansas has been knocked out. Bethany's like, what game are you watching? I was like screaming. I'm like, yeah, Arkansas beat Kansas. It's like irrelevant except the fact that it makes it easier for UCLA to go all the way. But I love that last week somebody, I think Nancy or someone said that it's like the allegiance. Like when we say the pledge of allegiance to the flag, that's the pledge of our allegiance to a banner. The banner represents something. What do the stars and stripes symbolize?
States.
Yeah, the states. How many states?
50.
50 states, right? Good. And, okay, so that's the stars, white on blue. And what does the red and white represent?
Yes.
Very good. You guys got it right on. So that's a banner of the United States. And the banner represents authority. The banner is not to be taken lightly. In fact, Justin said that when the banner is up, did you say that or did you say that? That morale stays up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a rallying point, right? If you ever get lost, right, you like go to the banner. And also, Justin said that when the banner falls for whatever reason, then morale can drop, right? We were talking about that in sports this morning. Sports is so mental. Your mental state falls, your morale falls when you don't see your banner, right? When you don't see the banner, when the banner touches the ground. In the United States, as a Boy Scout, when I was very young, I learned, or as a Cub Scout, I learned that you cannot let the flag of the United States touch the ground. I don't know how many countries have that law, but in the United States, you cannot, it is illegal to, if you see, like, you can't just look at a flag that's on the ground. That's why you'll never see a United States flag on the ground. Can't burn it, you're not allowed to burn it, and you're not allowed to let it fall to the ground, you know? Have you guys even noticed that the U.S. military always has a banner, has a flag on their sleeves, right? Have you guys ever noticed that? Have you ever seen or wondered why a United States flag on some arms is flipped around? Have you guys ever noticed that? Right? Justin has, right? So if I flew the banner, if I opened up a flag here, and you'd see the stars, stars here, right, and the stripes here, right? You would see the flag like this, right? So it'd be normal on this leaf. But on this leaf, it's actually flipped around so that the stars are on this side, right, of the patch. Do you guys know why? Justin knows why. Tell us, Justin.
It's the wind going that way, so the flag is like pointed the opposite direction.
Okay.
Forward.
Right. Okay. Why is that? Because the United States military never wants their soldiers to be running away from the battle. You see what I mean? So you're always running into the battle. The wind, the flag is blowing this way. That makes sense? Right? So there's a lot of source of pride and authority. Someone last week said power in the banner. Let's read the text and... hopefully you spent your time meditating in the concept of complaining last week, because we were looking at the context. All right, let's have two people read. Turn your Bibles, if you want, to Exodus chapter 17. We'll be looking through verse 8 through 16. And if you, who doesn't get to read very often, Bethany, can you cut my eye? So, Bethany, would you mind reading from 8 to 13? And then we'll have somebody read from verse 14 to Ryan. Read verse 14 to 16. Okay.
Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at
Rephidim.
So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him, and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed, and whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hand grew weary, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed with Amalek and his people with the sword.
Mm-hmm. All right,
Ryan. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in the book and recite it in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called it the name of it, the Lord is my banner, saying, a hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation.
Good, thank you. Right, so that's where we get Moses was given this name, or call the name of the Lord. The Lord is my banner. So you have to think a little bit. A lot of times in the symbol, in the symbols that Frank and I put, you know, Frank told me to be design-minded. So when we created the website, you know, I chose this particular picture, you know, for a reason, right? Because what is the banner that is being held up at that point in time? And what is that representing? We looked at the context last week, so we're not going to do that. But all this to say, what we saw last week is this is very much on the heels of the Israelites being released out of captivity from Egypt. This is on the heels of that. This is not very far in terms of, you know, a time horizon from when they were released and when they crossed the Red Sea. Right? We said that in Exodus 14 was when we saw the crossing of the Red Sea and the destroying. And again, Justin, thank you. Who brought up the fact that it was a staff that Moses held that was held over the Red Sea that actually split the Red Sea, right? So someone last week, which is really cool, talked about the significance of the staff, and we should look at that a little bit more too. But you see the staff parting the Red Sea, then the Red Sea closing up. It's really cool because whoever was preaching last Sunday also mentioned that. The Red Sea for some reason, and we talked about that in Sunday school, and crossing on dry ground. And then as Pharaoh and the Egyptian armies like came, the sea actually closed in on them. So here they are in Exodus 15, praising and thanking God. And then they start this like three chapters of grumbling and complaining, right? That's our context. So what do you think about this battle? This is the very first battle that the Israelites face in this land. But the very first verse that we read said, who came to attack? Who came to attack in verse 8? Amalek. Who is Amalek? Do you guys know it all? Does the name sound familiar to anything? Amalek? Just Amalek? If you think about the enemies of God, does it ring any bells? Anybody online? Amalek, if you say it a little differently, can you think about an enemy of God, like the enemies of God? No.
Camelot.
How about the Amalekites? All right, let's actually get, this is what I want us to check out, right? Who is Amalek? Because it says, then Amalek came, right? So here they are in the middle of their grumbling. God is showing up because he loves Israel so much and is so faithful to his promise that he made. He keeps giving them water, gives them manna and quail. They still grumble and complain. Here's their first battle. This guy Amalek comes. And I asked a question, who is Amalek? So I'm gonna point this out to you guys. I put a genealogy here to help you, right? Because the promise in Genesis chapter 12 was made to Abram, right? Where we looked at two names of God as we studied through Abraham. And now we're in Moses, we're exploring another name of God. Excuse me. Remember we talked about, I don't know if you find Lot on there, okay? That's his nephew. And Abraham had a wife. His wife's name was what?
Sarah,
right? And with them, they, when we studied the El Roy, who were we looking at when we studied the name of God, El Roy, R-O-I? Do you guys remember?
Hagar.
Yes, Hagar. Why? because she was mistreated by Abram's wife, Sarai, at the time, and she ran away. And even this Egyptian woman, God revealed himself to her so that she called him, "You are the God who sees me." And what did God promise to her? What did God promise? Do you guys remember? What did God promise to Hagar? That your son will be a, it's a funny description. You'll never forget it once you read it. Your son will be a wild what animal? Donkey of a man. He'll be a wild ass, okay? Is what it's saying. He's gonna be a wild ass. And he's gonna have a lot of descendants. From you will come a lot of descendants. And God fulfilled that promise to Hagar. So you can see on this genealogy, look up here, where is Hagar? Right? And are there a lot of sons? How many, bless you, how many sons does Hagar have? Huh? Right? Hagar has one, Ishmael. And how many sons does Ishmael have? Huh? 12. Right? So from Ishmael, from the wild donkey of a man, is going to come this line. And from Ishmael comes 12 sons. And if you keep looking down on that, right? He has a daughter. Okay, so we're going to remember this daughter, okay, named Basemath. Our boss. Do you know your Basemath? Meanwhile, on the other side, God finally fulfills his promise through Sarah, providing them, what's Abraham and Sarah's son's name, the child of the promise?
Isaac,
right? And so do you see Isaac up there? Okay? And then Isaac, you guys remember in Genesis 24, was able to meet his wife, Isaac and Becca. Yes, Clara, that's right. Okay, so that's how our Becca, who's online right now, spells her name, Rebecca with a K-A-H. And so Isaac and Rebecca. And they have two sons. And you guys know this story from children worship, right? What are their two sons' names?
Jacob and Esau.
Jacob and Esau. We say Jacob and Esau. But who was born first?
Esau,
right? And Esau... What did Esau do? Okay, think about that. Yeah, we'll go back to that, okay? But I just want to show you that because of Esau, and these are Esau's, this is who Esau married with, right? So you can see there's Hittites, Hivites, and the daughter of Ishmael. These are the women of Canaan. Okay? These are not the women of Israel. And so under Esau comes Eliphaz, who had a child with his concubine, okay, follow my mouse here, and under Eliphaz was born Amalek, okay? And I put it in red to make it easy for us, okay? We have red, 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 okay? These are all enemies of God. Meanwhile, because of something that occurred between Esau and Jacob, Jacob received what? The blessing. He received the blessing. And from Jacob's line and from Leah, Rachel. You guys remember Leah and Rachel, right? Leah was older, Rachel's younger, and Zilpah, you know, comes the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a big deal. Okay. So that's Amalek right here. This is where he came from. All right. So the Amalekites are from Amalek. Yes. The word here in verse 8 says Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Okay. This word in the Hebrew, fought, is actually, whenever I pick up the imperfect tense, that's one of the only things I remember in my languages. Okay? In Greek and Hebrew, I'm not a great student. I have enough tools that I can study it when I want to, but I don't just like, I stop reading the Greek and Hebrew Bible. It's just lost it. But whenever the imperfect tense comes up, it always gives us a picture of a repeated action. Okay. So this concept of Amalek came and fought with Israel. Yeah, it could be saying that he kept fighting until the sun went down that day. Or it can mean that Amalek kept being an enemy of Israel. And that's true too. Okay. So, and then in verse 16, Ryan read that they will have war against Amalek from generation to generation. So Amalek and the Amalekites are a permanent kind of an enemy in the lives of Israel. And I want us to think about that. When I think of Israel like the Christian today, we too face spiritual battles in our Christian life. We have obstacles or enemies who will repeatedly attack us. And the way the enemies may attack Nancy is going to be a little different from the way the enemy attacks Kevin, Justin, Daniel, and myself. Right, I'm just going with the U table way. I like this. I could just walk up.
This is cool, actually.
And I wanted us to take a moment to talk about this. Okay. What or who do you think are the Amalekites or the foes or the obstacles in our spiritual battles? Now, you don't have to be super personal this morning, right? You don't have to be, you know, we don't have the time, we don't have the closeness in a consistent, like, small group to do that. But what are things that Christians face? What are things that Christians battle sometimes over and over again? You could give specific categories, or you can give some of the broad categories that Scripture gives us. This is an answer that, you know, I'm not big on you guys being generalizations, like generalizers in Scripture, like never getting personal. Just give me the biblical general answer. But right now I'm actually looking for a biblical general answer. Does that make sense? What are some of the different foes, that almost from generation, like your whole life, you will battle against this spiritually? So go ahead and get into groups for about like 3 minutes. Okay, it shouldn't be that hard. So if you have three people in your group, you each get about a minute. That's good. All right. So get into a group of three. Max, please, group of three. All right, go ahead and start and move it along. And who or what do you think are the spiritual foes that you face in a spiritual battle? All right, so what are some of the things, some of the Amalekites in our life, right? Because remember, this is the very first battle of Israel. The very first battle of Israel. And this guy is mentioned out of nowhere. Like, you don't know where he comes from. But if you read in Deuteronomy, it actually says that this guy is very sneaky. He's sneaky, sneaky. I wish Pastor James was in here because that's his joke. He left our class. Yeah, say that to your father. You guys, you know, my kids know more jokes about your dad, right? Say to him, like, sneaky, sneaky. Okay? And then he'll start saying, sneaky, sneaky. Anybody say that to him today, okay? Say, hey, Pastor James, are you sneaky? It's from an Adam Sandler movie. the one where he beats this guy's, like, dead foot. Anyways, I don't know if you guys remember that. So say that to him later. Say, hey, don't be so sneaky, Pastor James. Okay. So, but Amalek, not like Pastor James, is very sneaky. Because Deuteronomy even says that it says that Amalek attacked you on the way when you were faint and weary. And that's what's happening, right? They don't feel they have enough water. They don't have enough bread. They don't have enough quail. And the scripture says, cut off your tail. But literally what that means is they cut off those who are dragging behind, right? So the Israelites are traveling like in this, like, kind of like this long, you know, like a group of people you see it in the movies. But they're starting to straggle?
Yes.
Straggle, right? That's a funny word. They start to straggle behind. Is this straggle?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so they're kind of straggling behind. Straggling. Okay, there you go.
Strangle.
No, not strangling. They're straggling behind, and Amalek knows, let's cut them off. Let's cut off the tail. Because these are the most tired, weakest ones. It's like the grandmas. It's like those who are just, who are, I don't know, whatever. They can't catch their breath, right? It's those. You know, on any hike you go on, there's going to be people who are tired at the back. Amalek was like, let's go cut them off. They're easy pickings because they're straggling. Is it straggling? Cutting in?
Yes.
Okay, straggling. Like that's, he's sneaky. And it says in scripture, and he does not fear God. He doesn't fear God. Okay. So what are some of the things that you guys brought up? What are the sneaky foes that you face in, that we face in our spiritual battle? This group?
Temptations.
Okay, worldly temptations. Worldly temptations. Okay, this group?
Said false teachings and desires of the flesh.
False teachings, okay, desires of the flesh. Flesh. Wow, you guys are using some very strong biblical words there. Anybody online want to pipe in? I do this, like I'm like, hey, are you in there?
Weird.
Yeah, there's little people. Hey, anybody in there?
Our biggest spiritual foe we felt in our group was Satan.
Okay, whoa. Okay, so we got like some world, we got some flesh, we got some Satan. Okay, how about this group right here?
There's like two.
Yeah. This is my
I guess like selfishness.
Yeah, selfishness. Okay, yes, being selfish. Good. And what's the second one?
Acceptance.
Acceptance is what?
Bad.
Acceptance is bad, is what I was saying. Because
like,
God accepts
like, you. No, to long for.
Oh, to long for acceptance.
And social itself.
Like,
idolize it.
Yeah, idolize.
Yeah.
Good. So class is helping. Idolize acceptance from who? From Bethany? From like your older sibling? Yeah. Oh. See, that's hard. That's hard. That makes spiritual life hard, right? When your sister doesn't accept you.
Yeah.
Okay, Bethany, we're going to have to talk to him.
Just kidding.
All right, group it back. Elise, yeah.
Ourself.
Oh,
yeah. Yes, okay, so that's selfish, ourself. What is ourself, like, are we bad? Are we bad, Elise? Like, myself, is that bad? Ryan says yes. Just the what?
The flesh.
Okay, this flesh. So my hands are bad. Flesh, what do you guys mean by flesh? It's so philosophical. What do you mean, like flesh?
Like the old self that you still have when you're still alive.
Okay. Is there old self there?
Well, like, while we have this physical body in this fallen state, yes.
Okay, so there's something about flesh. It doesn't mean this. Because your hands do good stuff. You just fed yourself a croissant. And that looked really good. Right? And with those hands, you make good meat. You make good meat. Right, we gotta admit that. So your flesh, like your hands are good, but there's something about our flesh. We could do a deeper dive in that another time, but the Bible talks about our flesh. So we say it, but we gotta understand what that means, what a sarx means, right? That's what it is. I'm showing off my little Greek, right? Sarx is flesh. And we have to understand what sarx is. What is the flesh? It doesn't mean my body's bad. I mean, my hair actually grew back. I'm like super excited about that. That's cool, right? I was ready to be bald, skin bald, Bruce Willis bald for the rest of my life. And am I complaining that God let my flesh become strong when my flesh gets messed up because of chemo? I don't feel good when I'm rested. My flesh feels really good. Is that a bad thing? No, that's a really good thing. So what does the Bible mean? The flesh, okay, the self. The world, and I'm pointing up to Scott up here in the speaker box, Satan, right? And these are the things that we are always battling and will attack us in different ways and in multiple guerrilla warfare type attacks. Okay, what is guerrilla warfare?
Sneaky.
It means sneak attacks. See, that's what's so crazy about this scripture. Amalek is a sneak attacker. And the flesh, the world, Satan, are sneak attackers. They cut you off when in the weak parts. Rephidim, I don't want to over-spiritualize it, but Rephidim means this place where they were attacked. The word actually means rest. Ooh. When you're tired. When you need rest, a lot of times that's when the enemy, these spiritual foes are attacking you, right? When you're tempted to sin, a lot of times it's when you just, man, I just want to check out. I just want to check out, right? When you're watching programming that you shouldn't be watching, when you're mistreating people, you're short of temper, it's usually when you're like, bro, I just need some rest. All right, chilling, you know? I need my chilling just to give me a break. And now you push me, you're calling the wrath upon yourself, right? And spiritual attack is right there. You say things that you regret. You say things that you don't really mean, that are not thought out, right? It's when you're alone and tired and you need rest when your mind begins playing like tricks on you, right? Or the sneak attackers are sneak attacking, like putting in lies, and you're believing them and you're exhausted. See, Amalek attacks from the back. Kind of crazy, weird. I don't know. I was like, this is kind of weird. It's interesting to me. And whose line did Amalek come from? Right? It began up here with Jacob and Esau. What happened with Jacob and Esau? What Esau is the older child of Isaac and Rebekah. Esau holds the blessing, holds the birthright. Esau holds a birthright. But Jacob is more sneaky. Wow, sneaky is the word today. James would have loved this. He's a sneaker. And what happened? He took his what? He took his birthright. How?
Soup.
Huh? Over soup. Over oxtail soup, man. What kind of soup was it? Huh?
Lentil
soup? I always pictured of it as oxtail soup because I love oxtail soup. Bex makes a mean oxtail soup, right? Oh man, I love her oxtail soup. And so, but because Esau was so hungry, he goes, give me some of your soup, your lentil soup. Lentil soup doesn't even sound good, man. But it was an oxtail. You're like, dude, give me some of that. And then, what did Jacob say? All right, how about you give me your birthright, your blessing? And out of desperation, it's like, dude, for sure, whatever. I want some of that oxtail, lentil. Ooh, what is lentil anyways? Huh? Does anybody eat lentils in here? Is it good?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's like beans.
A bean, yeah. Like legumes.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. So you're eating this, and he trades his birthright, and because he didn't value this future blessing, because the birthright is the future blessing, right? You don't value that future blessing, you gave it up, right? I have a funny story. I just got permission from Bethany to share it because that happened in our family.
What?
She's the oldest one, right? She's the oldest child. She has the blessing, right? She had the blessing. And one day, I remember hearing it on the car. I think they were on the car. You guys were on the car, right? Like Abby remembers. And Bethany wanted some snack or this candy that CJ had so bad. It wasn't even oxtail soup or lentil soup. It was like some candy or some snack that he got, whatever, from you know, after a ball game. And she's like, come on, come on. And he goes, give me your birthright. He probably got it straight from Sunday school. Okay? Probably straight from Sunday school. Like, you want to trade it for your birthright? And she goes, fine, whatever, yeah. She threw away her birthright. And he remembers it to this day. He remembers it to this day. He goes, this car, it's mine. Because you gave away, he goes, this house, it's mine. Because you gave away your birthright to me for candy or snack. I think that's funny. One day I'm going to preach on that because I think it's just hilarious. Because I'm like, sneaky. That's something I would expect Abby to do. But that was sneaky. Man. How about us, though? How about us? How does this apply to us today? I mean, there's so much more I could go into, but what future blessings are there for those who are in Christ? What is our promised future blessings? And in what ways may we not see the value of those blessings? We even know, last night I talked about this in the youth group, that there's a quote that I saw when our family went to Pyology. We went to Pyology, and you know, they have the quote wall. And I read a quote that said something like, do great things for God or sacrifice great things for God and expect great things from God. So as you sacrifice, as you give God your very best, you will experience the blessing in your life. A lot of times those are future blessings that you don't experience immediately. They're not short term, they're long term. And I asked in the room, a lot of us older ones have experienced that. When you've made sacrifices, when it's hard, you've made sacrifices for God and you've seen the blessing as a result of that. And a lot of our older brothers and sisters from college and up all rose their hands and they're like, yes, we've experienced that. But sometimes we don't. Because sometimes we need something in the short term so bad, right, that we forget that, man, if I just trusted in God in this, I'm going to see it. I'm going to see him deliver. I'm going to see him in a more spectacular way than if I did this myself, right? So get into your groups. We're going to end with this, and we're going to share some of these testimonies. Think of things that may be easy for us to not see or not wait on. I don't know if I phrase questions right, so I don't, you know, it might be my fault if we don't, you know, you don't have a good discussion. Or think of something you did wait on because you saw the blessing of saying, I trusted God in this and he delivered, but it wasn't like immediate. And I'm so glad I did that, right? Or I didn't. Or talk about general Christians. If you don't want to get too personal, that's okay. Like Christians, a lot of times don't wait on God for these areas. Okay, go ahead. About 3 to 4 minutes, and then we'll come back and share, and we'll wrap up. And you could look at all the other stuff that I did. This is how they fight their battle. Oh, man, this is actually the meat of what I was supposed to get to.
Next week?
Next week? I think I'll go next week. This is how they fight. Okay, go. All right, so what do you guys think? I'll debate with Frank if, you know, if I go another week. I have like 30 more minutes, but whatever. Chalk it up. The notes are there. You guys could read it on your own. What do you guys think? This is like, this could be very layered, right? Because initially I was thinking very future, right? I was thinking very future. But I like that, yes. But I like that we have like young ones in our class too. I love it. And so we could go into any realm of like future blessings, right? What do you guys think? How about we start from the back this time and we'll work our way forward. You guys get to always be in the middle. Yeah. The power of three.
Well, we were talking about just a lot of things.
I have to go, guys. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Like waiting on a job.
Yeah.
Right? Waiting on the job, and then we, you know, patiently waited, and somehow God change the landscape or change the situation,
yeah,
that we were in, mm-hmm, instead of trying to change it ourselves.
Right.
Right. So that's the one part of waiting. The other part, you know, we were talking about, so hard to wait sometimes. That's the other side of it, the tension where we want to manually manufacture it.
Right.
Instead of waiting,
right,
or sacrificing.
Right, right, right. But you know what you'd be giving up, right? Because we've all experienced God doing something supernaturally and something amazing. And sometimes that's a real tension. Especially as you get older and you experience God and you're like, man, that was God. When I look back, that was God. And then in other situations, you're like, that was more me. But the ones when it's like, God, you're like, dude, I could tell stories about that. That's amazing. And it's like, do I want to experience that or do I want to just try to get it done and fix it myself or something? Right? Okay. Next group. What do you guys think?
She said, like, when she gets money, she needs to, like, stop.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
You know, like, you should think, but then it grows over time.
Yeah, grows over time, yeah.
Or, like, putting
like the book and like that I get from like the other day.
Yes, yes.
But it's like my big account.
Yeah. And your money is growing close to Bethany's amount. Right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Good. All right, so that's like not giving a future blessing, right? It's a short-term, maybe pain, right, is what you're saying? Short-term sacrifice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, yeah.
Okay. Okay, cool. Okay, good. Thanks. Okay, how about, where did we go last time? Okay, yes, Ryan. Yeah, Ryan. Yeah, please. You said you want to go? Oh, he doesn't have one. Take it. Go ahead.
I said when I like miss them on Saturdays, for like discipleship with John, and like he can like help me like go
remember. Right, right. And you missed it for something else. To do what?
No, I missed something else for.
Oh, right. You gave up something else to be able to invest in your spiritual life. Yeah, that's good. Okay. All right. What over here?
We said, so like on a, in this lifetime, we said like waiting for a spouse or children. And then like a longer term or like a future thing, like generosity to the poor.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, Christ said like if you're, like if you feed, you know, the poor, you feed me or something like that.
Yeah, yeah. If you clothe this person, if you treat this person well, or if you mistreat them, that you're doing that unto me, Jesus said, right? That's crazy, right? And that's not just poor, right? That could be how we treat people, right? That's great. Okay, cool. How about this last group?
Okay, fine. just like give like a personal like example, like, you know, like when I came back from like out of states, and then like I decided like going back, come back to church. I feel like that's like a way of like, you know, God giving a blessing.
Because
you know, there's like a there's struggles like I decided if I want to go back or not. If I want to go back to God, and like, it's like He showed the way. He showed
the way. That's good. All right, good. Anybody online? Is anybody online still?
I don't know.
Huh?
Beth is still online.
That's okay. All right. Yeah, I had some cool stuff, like where I was really going to go, the Mitha passage. because it really talks about, like, there's a different perspective. But I'll figure that out with Frank. I'm big on honoring people's time. And so I want to honor your time, and I don't want to take too much more of that. So let's go ahead and come to God in a word of prayer, and then we can get the room set up for children worship. Father, we want to honor you, Lord, and we want to thank you for your word. Maybe there's, for me, the longer time I'm able to spend in your word, the more things, there's more gems I find. And forgive me, Lord, if there was distraction from anything that you wanted to do or say today, Lord. And I trust in you even with that. And I thank you that in this little narrative, we can think about even the future blessings of our life. Lord, you are so good, and what we saw last week is a people who is so prone to grumbling and complaining. Sometimes we know is more outspoken, and grumbling is a lot of times under our breath where people can't really hear it. But Lord, you still see it and you still hear it. I pray that you would show us how to live outside and away from a pattern of grumbling and complaining. I pray that you will help us to see farther out than the current circumstance that we're facing. Help us to remember as Moses built an altar to remember your faithfulness, to remember how you are the banner, Help us, Lord, to do that in our life, to make memorials, whether it's to journal it, whether it's to create something out of a craft, whether it's a bracelet that we wear, whatever it may be, Lord, help us to remember what you want us to remember about your faithfulness, God. And so, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for speaking to us. And we just pray that today you would do something special to help us know that you are with us. Do something special as we posture ourselves to worship you, and we want to receive from you with our hands open. Lord, would you do something special to show us your great faithfulness, Lord? And even if it's as simple as a song lyric that points us to Christ, move within us in those ways. Pray for all of those who are serving today, our children worship teachers and all the servers in our worship service today. Lord, I pray that we will be rewarded. They will be rewarded for that. And just let your presence be known. I thank you and I praise in Jesus' name. Amen.